Jerry's back with us, and we've been praying for Jerry. Amen. They're trying to keep him down. They can't keep him down. So glad Jerry's with us this morning. We're glad you're with us this morning. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a great day in the Lord's house. We hope you're with us for all of it. Pastor Mark mentioned the kids doing spaghetti. They're having spaghetti and fettuccine back there and breadsticks. So it's a good thing you're not serving it now, or else you guys be in a carb coma right now as I start to preach. But that's not happening, so you'll be fully awake. Amen. Oh my gosh. That's so bad. Wow. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence. I'm sorry, but man. We need some coffee all the way around, I think, this morning. But go back, visit them. I know that maybe you guys might, the rumors, you might be having a fellowship in Sunday school. I don't know if that's true or not, but eat light and then go get a meal. And again, it's just going for the kids. We want to help send some kids to kids camp this year. As everything else, cost is going up, but you got to think in the cost reflects a week worth of activities, a week worth of meals at camp. And so we know it's a lot, and so we want to help our kids. If anybody needs help, we want to be there, be able to help them, provide for them a way to go to kids camp. Because I know for me, kids camp was powerful. I loved going to kids camp every year. We went, and it was just phenomenal. I mean, there's so many stories that comes out of kids camp. And so we want to do that. We want to help our kids. And then tonight, come back tonight. It's going to be a great night. There's parties all around this place. I mean, what can you not like about a party? And so come party with us. You know, we got some good games going on. Lay's doing Lay Sings, which I don't know what that is, but they're doing that over there in the event center. And us guys will be playing games. And so it doesn't get better than that. And so come out and join us tonight. We're just going to have a fun day in the Lord's house. And so today we're going back. I started last week with a subject that I'm not really comfortable talking about. And so I thought, well, you know, I felt like the Lord laid on my heart, and I said, all right, we're going for it. And so we've done it one time in the 7 years I've been pastor here, and this is the second time. And we're doing this because, one, I feel the Lord laid on my heart. But two, since day one of us taking over as pastors here, we have established that we believe biblical literacy is the highest priority. I mean, we want our people to understand the Bible, to know the Bible, to get the Bible, to get the history, to get the context, to get all of it, not just picking and choosing a little bit here and there. And so that goes back to what we're going to talk about today. It's just about training to understand what the Word says about this topic, and train to know. And I know when I say it, when we talked about it, if he's here last week, you know what we're going to talk about, but when I say it, some minds automatically go to a certain place. My challenge for you this morning is keep an open mind. Because what we're really talking about and what it all boils down to is the heart. It really is a heart issue. And that's why I believe some people get so fired up sometimes when we talk about this subject. Because it's something close to their heart. And so just stick with me. There's a lot of information this morning. But again, I want to just lay it out there and show you what the Bible says. And again, this is a teaching from a pastor that he did such a good job of it. We're using his points this morning. And so again, it's valuable for us this morning. I'm just going to jump into it. So I want to start with this statement. If God is first in your life, then everything else would come into order. If God is first in your life, everything else will come. I'm not saying if God is first in your life, you're never going to have any problems, you're never going to have difficulties, you're never going to struggle, because that's not true. We know that, right? We know that Jesus said, in this world you'll have what? Tribulation, yes. And so, but would you rather go through tribulation with everything in order, or with everything out of order? You know, I mean, I think I want everything in order. So if Jesus is first, if God's first, everything will come in order. If he's not, then essentially nothing will come into order in your life. So God has to be first in order. So I want to show you this principle, because there's a principle, and it runs throughout all scriptures from generation to generation. It does that. but from Genesis to Revelations. It starts in Exodus, Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. It says this, "The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whether it is the first to open the womb, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and of beast, is mine." This is the Lord talking. Tell Moses, write this down. This is what I wanted to say. It's mine, is what he's saying. It's mine. It belongs to me. So it's very important to understand when we talk about this principle of first, the firstborn, he says, is his. It belongs to me. Okay, now look at verse 12. It says, "You shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb, all the firstborn of your animals that are the males shall be the Lord's." So again, very similar Hebrew language is being presented here. That it shall belong to. It's really in the Hebrew, it's emphatically. Emphatically, it belongs to me. And in verse 13, it says, "Every firstborn of donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck." Maybe that got your attention this morning. "Every firstborn man among you, your sons, you shall redeem." So again, it's very important that if you don't redeem it, Scripture is showing that you're going to lose it. So if you don't redeem it, you're going to lose it. I want to imply here that as we talk about, first off, our finances, we're talking about 10%. We're talking about a tithe. He says, if you don't bring me, you're going to lose it. So it's going to go in your account, but if you don't bring it to me, you're going to lose it. So what does it matter anyways? All right, so then we get back to the Scripture. It says, so the firstborn shall be sacrificed or redeemed. Again, there's a principle here in the Old Testament that's referring to a principle that goes all throughout the Bible. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. That's a principle you'll see all throughout the Bible. Again, the firstborn has to be sacrificed or redeemed. Okay, but how do you know which one's which? How do you know whether to sacrifice it or how do you know whether to redeem it? Well, he gives two animals, two categories of animals here, and it represents two categories. He gives a donkey and a lamb. Okay, the donkey represents an unclean animal. The lamb represents a clean animal. Okay, so how do you know what to do? Well, if it's a clean animal, it has to be sacrificed. It's the firstborn. So if it's a firstborn clean animal, it's got to be sacrificed. If it's an unclean animal, it has to be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean animal. Okay, I know I'm getting deep here, so I know you haven't had enough coffee yet by the response to the amen earlier. But just stick with me, okay, because I promise this will make sense, right? So if it's an unclean animal, it has to be redeemed with the sacrifice of a clean animal. Okay, I hope some of you might be, wheels might be firing, and you might be getting ahead of me here with this, what it represents. Because if it's clean and it's firstborn, it's got to be sacrificed. If it's unclean, it has to be redeemed. Okay, so how in the world does this relate to us today? Well, let me ask you two questions. First of all, were you and I spiritually born clean or unclean? Unclean. Scripture's pretty clear in that. We were born in natural, our spiritual state before God. We're born unclean. The Bible says this to be true. Okay, so the second question is this. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? Clean. Exactly. So the clean Jesus, the clean had to be sacrificed so the unclean could be redeemed. Are you catching it? The clean Jesus had to be sacrificed so we, the unclean, could be redeemed. Okay? That's what we just read. And that's how important this principle is. And we're going to see this principle referring to tithing. But let me ask you this before we get too deep into it. Have you thought about this? Jesus was God's tithe. Did you ever think about it that way? It's the first 10%. Jesus was the first. The firstborn, clean, was given for us to be redeemed. I mean, we could go in a lot of directions. I know you guys are not with me because you're like starry-eyed right now. And so just be patient because we are going somewhere. I promise we're going somewhere. And so God said, when your sheep has a lamb, give me the first one. Can I tell you, it takes faith to give the first one because you don't know if you're going to get any more, do you? You don't know how many sheep that sheep is going to produce, right? So it takes faith. God didn't say, now wait till your sheep produces 10. Once it produces 10, you pick out the one you don't like and you give it to me. God didn't say that, did he? No, because if you give the first one, that takes a lot of faith. You're sure hoping that sheep has more than just one in it, don't you? And so that's the principle we're talking about. He said, give me the first one before you have any others. And so many people think it's not the 10% that enacts the blessing, but it's the faith that enacts the blessing. And that's why I believe. I believe it's the faith of giving that enacts a blessing in our life, because again, it takes faith. I don't know if I'm going to get more, but I know what I'm going to do with this. I'm going to give it to God. So we're going to give. Think about it. Jesus, God gave Jesus, and God didn't say, you know what, I'm going to wait to see if they clean up or see if they straighten up. No, God gave Jesus when we were mocking him, we spat at him, we nailed him to the cross. And Romans put it this way. Romans says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Romans also says that God gave Jesus in hope. God gave Jesus in hope. And the root word there is faith. So God gave in faith. God gave in faith hoping that we would be redeemed. And so in faith, we give a tithe. It's the first 10%. That's the first point. It's the first 10%. So the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. But here's the second point when it comes to giving. The first fruits must be offered. The first fruits must be offered. Proverbs 30, verses 9 to 10 says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Okay, it says that honor the Lord with the first of our increase. I just want to make a note here. This is Proverbs we're talking about, right? Proverbs is not the law. It's not under law. It's 100 years after the law. But yet you see this principle throughout Scripture, throughout the whole book, Genesis to Revelation, you see the same principle. Let me show you another Scripture, Exodus 23:19. Some of you know this, the first of the first fruits. Verse 19 says this, the best of the first fruits of your ground shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. And then Malachi even continues that thought. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says this, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down you a blessing until there is no need. Tithing always comes to the church is what that scripture is telling us. Can't divide your tithe, you bring it. And notice that word there, bring, what it says bring. I think the reason God uses the word bring instead of give when he talks about tithing is because you can't give what doesn't belong to you. Come on, somebody. So you bring it. And according to Scripture, you got two choices here. And I know this is strong wording, but the two choices are you bring it or you steal it. Some of you are like, man, Pastor, you're taking this way too far. Can I just pause, take a time out, and say, remember, it goes back to this heart thing. And where the treasure is, your heart is. For some of us, this is a lot of our treasure, and this is why it's so, like, to us. So they either brought it or they stole it. Remember when God said, bring the silver and gold from Jericho, that Achan kept some? And, of course, the next city, then they lost the battle until they brought it to the house of God. But here's the point. In Joshua chapter 6, God calls a tithe concentrated or set apart, something he called the firstborn, right? But in Joshua chapter 7, once Achan took it, he said, Israel has stolen from me and they're cursed. They're cursed. It's concentrated when you bring it into the house of God. It's cursed if you leave it in your bank account? Come on. I know you don't like this. Just please just stick with me, though. I mean, there's a real simple, straightforward question. Why would you want something cursed in your bank account? I mean, it has enough problems, don't it? I mean, why wouldn't you want your bank account blessed? And so, see, it takes faith to give first. It takes faith to believe that 90% redeemed and blessing will go further than 100% cursed. Again, watch this in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. In the course of time, as it starts out, in the course of time, now those words are very important because in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And notice specifically, it doesn't say they brought first fruits, but in course of time. He just brought an offering in the process of time. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected, or this word could be received, Abel and his offering. So notice, the person received two, not just the offering. But what is it? What does the verse say? It said, but he didn't respect, or he didn't receive Cain and his offering. Again, Cain was a farmer, so he didn't bring his first fruit. Abel was a rancher, he brought his firstborn. God says, I'll accept that, and I will not accept that. Again, I don't want to get too off here, but I think it shows us something a little bit deeper here. It's not just that God wouldn't accept it, it says that God couldn't accept it. And why couldn't God accept this offering? Well, it's called preeminence of God. Preeminence of God. I'll get it there. Just give me a second. I have my coffee either. The preeminence of God, okay? I know that's a big word, but you've heard of eminence. It's important, influential. But God is preeminent, okay? And so what that means is that he's not only first of all, he's before all. That means he's higher than all. He's above all. That means he's first. That means he's before all. So God is first. He can't be second. He can't accept second because he's first. When we talk about putting God first, and that's good because we need to put God first in our lives, but I just want you to know something. Even if God's not first in your life, he's still going to be first because he can't be second. You didn't rearrange his order in the universe. He is preeminent. So God can never be second. So this is the reason why he couldn't accept Cain's offering, because God's always first. And Cain didn't bring a first offering. God says, I'm sorry, I can't accept second because I'm first. Now we need to think about that when it comes to tithing. You remember Jesus was God's tithe. If Jesus is God's tithe, tithing might be a little more personal to the Father than we think. See, tithing, what tithing does, it represents who's first in your life. Again, it's a heart issue. Who's first in your life? I know some of the things that you know saying pretty strong this morning and makes us uncomfortable. I know it makes me uncomfortable. But you can tell me all day long that God's first in your life, but let me see your bank account and I'll tell you who's first. It might be Amazon. It might be Bass Pro. Come on, I know I won't get no amens there. I'm sorry. But where does the first 10% go? I mean, that's who's first. All right, so the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. The first fruits must be offered. Here's the third thing. The tithe must be first. The tithe must be first. Leviticus 27:30. Every tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or fruit of the trees, is the Lord. It is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So God set himself apart. And that's what the next phrase says. It's holy. And that word simply means to be set apart. And that's why it's stealing. Because if it's set apart unto him, that's what has to be first. Why? Because God's first. And let's be honest, he owns it anyways. In other words, if we're going to return it, we have to return it first. Matter of fact, he says it in Malachi. He says, you bring me the blind and the lame animals, and I do not accept them. I mean, they were trying to get by with that. They would look at the herd, and they're like, they wait till everything was born. One, it was wrong, right? And they look over the herd and like, okay, which ones are most pathetic? I mean, well, let's get those, let's offer those to the Lord. And he's saying, I'm not going to accept it. So what happens though? Let's be real though, okay? Life happens, right? What happens if I have an early morning meeting, I rush out of the house, I don't have my quiet time, I get home that night, and I'm thinking, oh no, it's the 15th, I forgot to tithe. I forgot to tithe, I noticed that day that Melissa went to the grocery store. What do you do? I don't say, well, that's great, because of Lucky Charms, I'm going to be cursed now. It doesn't mean because I gave my tithe to Apple Market, so I'm cursed now. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that because this is not a legalistic thing. I'm not trying to give you a legalistic principle now. And God's not either. I'm trying to give you a principle that's about our heart. Where's your heart? And God knows your heart. He sees your heart. He knows where you're at. And so when we fail to give Him the first, He knows your heart. You're not going to be cursed because of Walmart or whatever you went and spent your first 10% on. But God knows your heart. And that's why this principle always comes back to it's a heart. It's not a legalistic issue. It's not a law. Come on, this is not a law. We're under a new covenant. The law was, but it's a principle. A principle that exposes our heart. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you today. So where's your heart? Now, I want to continue in Exodus chapter 13, verse 14. It says, and when in time to come, your sons will ask you, what does this mean? I love this. You know, your son's going to ask you, what does it mean? And it goes on to say, you shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. So he's saying, he's writing this, he's saying, okay, one day your son's going to ask. And when he does, this is what you're going to say. He said, there was a time when we lived in slavery. There was a time we had no freedom. There was a time when we couldn't worship the Lord. There was a time when we didn't have a temple to go to. There was a time we were in bondage. We were whipped. We were beaten. He said, tell your son about that time. Tell your son a time when you lived in bondage. But tell him there's one day. There's one day, though, when the Lord showed up. There's one day where the Lord came to redeem. That's why we do what we do, because of what the Lord did for us. That's why we give the first, because of what happened in Egypt. And the Lord established this principle that we give as a remembrance of what He's done for us. Again, it brings back to this heart issue. And we get so caught up in, I don't need a Savior. I don't need a Lord. I can do this by myself. I made a good living. I bought a really nice house. I live a good life. I. And what Scripture's telling us today is, hey, go back. Go back, remember when you were living in bondage. Go back and remember what it was like to not know freedom in your life. Go back to the time where you remember you lived this lifestyle, and now today you live this lifestyle. Go back to that time and remember all the Lord's done for you. We go back to the heart. And so go back to the question, is God really first in our lives? Where your treasure is, there's your heart. So what I really want to do is I want to encourage you to put God first in your finances as well. Tithe. Tithe to the church. Not because we want your money. Because this is a heart thing. God's established this principle. You give the first, you give this, you have a blessing in your life. You get things in order in your life. It means it's not all going to be sunshine and roses. But if you have everything in order in your life, that brings comfort. And so this is why we give. This is why we give. This is how we give. This is what we wanted to show you this morning. God set it up. God did it so he could actually bless us and remind us that he's the one. That he's the one that set us free from the bondage of sin. He gave first. Why don't you stand with this morning? He gave first. He gave his son. He gave his son, not knowing how we respond. Come on, let's be honest. He knew how we respond. Some of us reject him. Some of us accept him. Even though he knew there'd be many people that rejected him, he still gave first. He gave the absolute best. He gave it first. I know there was a lot of information this morning. But this principle that God established, I wanted you to see. There's a lot of questions about tithing. Why do we give 10%? Why do we do this? Well, what if I just do this instead of that? And what if I do? There's this principle that was established. And if it's this laid out from Genesis to Revelation, I think it's a principle we probably should follow in our lives. I got example after example for you of tithing. Tithing when things are tight and how blessings came through. Story after story like that. Oh, Pastor, we didn't have it to give, but I knew we had to give, so we gave, and then this happened. Please don't read anything in this message. Church is doing great. You guys blew our socks off last year with how much you gave to the building fund. I mean, unbelievable. We have a slide out there now. Scrolling on TV, you can see how we started at $1.7 million in debt, and now we're at $398 million, somewhere around there. Unbelievable. Got a God-sized goal of paying it off in 2 years. I believe we can get there. This has nothing to do with any of that. This has to do with our hearts. Let's get this right in everything in our life, in business, in family, in finances. Let's get this heart right. We get everything in order. I love saying that, like, if we do everything we can do in the natural, that creates space for God to move in the supernatural. And this is one of those things we can do in natural. Would you bow your heads with us? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray this morning.